I'm excited. We're beginning a brand new message series today, and I think it's one of those that you don't want to miss, because as we get into the craziness of life returning to normal, you know, we sort of use summer and we back away from some stuff and we get a little rusty at life. Because craziness happens all these other months of the year. And so we kind of go into rest mode and we pull ourselves back. And maybe we get out of the habit of doing some of the things that we really should be doing all the time. So we're going to be talking about some very important things over the next several weeks in this series called Act and React. If you look up act in the dictionary, it says simply this: the process of doing, or simply to do something. I think we can all sort of get that. That's not a big surprise. But if you look up the word react, it's to act in the reverse direction or manner, listen to this part, especially so as to return to a prior condition. So here's what that means. Reaction looks to reverse action. But if you scroll down just a little bit farther, you'll find this other definition of react. And it's this: that if you take the two letters, that R-E, and put it in front, it means to act again or to perform again. So those are two totally different meanings. One looks to reverse the action. The other looks to repeat the action. For you and I, we need to learn the kind of behaviors that are worth repeating, not reversing, right? We want to live a life in which we're doing the kind of things that we can be proud of, that are righteous things, and righteous simply means to be right in what you're doing, to be right in what you're thinking, to be right in what you're saying. And I'm not talking about in the context of having an argument with your spouse and getting really excited because you go, I've been practicing righteousness. I'm more righteous than you are. That means I'm more right than you are. No, because a righteous person in conflict does the godly thing. And so you and I often find ourselves in a condition of reaction, and that we're trying to reverse things, things that are being done to us, things that are being said to us, or things that we've done ourselves, when we should be focused on practicing a behavior over and over and over, finding the righteous act and repeating that righteous act over and over. So listen, none of us like to think of ourselves as someone that would do something that would be a disappointment to ourselves or others. And I often think of myself as someone who doesn't do those kind of things. But let me pick up with that in just a second. We did a team building exercise on Tuesday, and I took the staff up to the Coloma area, and we went whitewater rafting. And it was, it was really exciting. It was really fun. It did exactly what it's supposed to do. It revealed a lot about our staff. And I had a GoPro on, and at one point it got switched off of video and got switched onto time-lapse pictures. So I've got some pictures I want to show you. So throw that picture up there. So that's not very exciting or thrilling. This is the back of Jamie Buer, who's our elementary coordinator. And everyone else is in the boat, and I'm on the left-hand side with Jamie. There's someone in front, and there's someone behind me. And then there's four across. But this is just the beautiful scenery. And we're going down, and you can't really see it, but there's going to be some trouble area ahead. Go ahead to that next picture. And you can start seeing it's getting really turbulent. This is taking pictures about every 3 seconds. And go ahead and go to the next picture. And you can tell things are, that's my oar, right? That's my paddle. That is, I don't know if that's Lisa or my assistant Jamie, but it looks like her mouth is in the form of saying a profane word. It's kind of that SH thing. I'm not sure if that's what they were saying. Maybe they're saying shundai and speaking in tongues. I don't know. But what you don't see is that right at this point, now pause right here, this is Jamie up in that kind of left-hand corner, and I am reaching for her head. I actually got a hold of her helmet and was pulling her head because I was falling out of the boat and I impulsively didn't know what to do but use someone else as an anchor to keep me in the boat. Go ahead to the next picture. I'm now over. That's my foot there. This is me going, that's Jamie saving herself. She lunged forward to stay out of my grasp and go one more. Go to the next picture. This is me now underwater. Go to the next one. That's me still underwater. This is every 3 seconds. Go to the next one. Still underwater, by the way. Go to the next one. And this is them about 20 feet ahead of me. And when I got back in the boat, Jamie confronted me on my character issues. She was like, you had a hold of my whole head. I was like, if I could have grabbed her nostrils, I would have to use leverage. But I grabbed a hold of her helmet and I pulled with all my, I didn't know what else to do. If you would have showed me a video on YouTube of somebody doing something like that, I would have thought, I'd never do that. But here I was doing that exact thing. It was impulsive. It was terrible. And it wasn't the only time. That's what's really horrible. I couldn't stop myself. I just kept trying to grab her. And she kept saying, well, PC, I know you've got my back. Literally, you keep trying to grab my back. I was trying to just stay in the boat. And it was difficult to do. We don't always act in the way we think we're going to act under pressure, strenuous circumstances, difficult moments, crazy events that happen in our lives. We don't think we're going to act a particular way, but then when we do, our character is revealed. The idea is that we practice the right character for so long, so consistently, that we act and then react and act and react and act and react, R-E-A-C-T, that we keep acting over and over in the righteous manner so that when pressures and difficult circumstances and crazy events happen in our lives, we're ready to act the way we're supposed to. Pull out your notes if you don't want to have them out. Open up your app. And fill this in. I'm serious about knowing and changing the real me. If I'm serious about knowing and changing the real me, then I have to admit that, number one, I am what all my actions say I am. All my actions. So here's a truth to fill in. We wrongly think that we can separate what we do from who we are. We wrongly think that we can separate what we do from who we are. We've all seen the video. And I'm talking general video because they come out, oh, I don't know, about once a week, where someone is recorded on cell phone doing something. They're losing their temper. They're apparently out of character. They're saying things and they're acting in ways. It's somebody at a barbecue. It's somebody at a pool. It's somebody at a restaurant. It's somebody in an Uber car. It's somebody doing something or saying something and treating somebody poorly. And then here's what we hear. They get fired from their job. They get, it's big news. And there's a big story right now. A lady drowned in a flash flood in her car, and she was on the phone with 911 for an extended period of time, and the 911 caller or operator was not compassionate and even at times sort of taunted her for getting herself in this situation. That lady's going to have a very hard time living down that moment because that lady ended up drowning. Lost her life, and everybody's really turned on. I don't know that this 911 caller could have done anything to save her life, but really what she's being measured on is how she treated this woman in the last moments of her life. I have a feeling that if you maybe talk to her, she might say, well, this was a terrible night for me. I just found out some bad news. That she would claim this, what many of us have claimed, is in our worst moments we say, well, that's not really me. That was totally out of character for me. And that's really the problem with us. We reduce ourselves to being a good person or a bad person. We all think of ourselves as a good person, and I don't really have never met anyone that thought of themselves as a bad person, and that's problem number two. We never put ourselves into the bad person category. In spite of the fact that no matter how many bad decisions, how many bad words we say, how many bad conversations we have, how many bad jokes we tell, how many bad thoughts we have, how many bad things we do, how many bad actions that can be measured in our lives, we always just say that we're a good person that's done those things out of character. I don't really know that that's how it works. I think that there are moments in our lives that reveal the essence of who we are. That's a little troublesome for some of us. If we have a moment in which we see something happen in our lives and it's not a very pretty thing that's happened in our lives, it may be something coming to light that we need to address. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 8, 16 and 17. You wouldn't light a lamp and cover it with a clay pot. You're not going to hide it under your bed. No, when you light it, you're going to put it out in the open so your guests can feel welcome and see where they're going. In other words, you put on your character on display so that it can be seen. You don't want to hide that, right? If you are a thing, you don't want to hide the thing that you are. Listen to what he goes on to say. We almost never put this, and when we're talking about this, preaching about this, teaching about this, hidden things will always come out into the open. Secret things will come to light and be exposed. Listen, who we are, God makes it so that that thing can't stay hidden because he wants us to address the worst things about ourselves and purge our lives from those things. You think, yeah, but I don't know that when that, something like that comes out that that's who I am. Well, I might agree with you. I don't think Jesus agrees with you. Listen to what he says in Matthew 7, 16 through 20. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You need never confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Different kinds of fruit trees can quickly be identified by what? Examining their fruit. You know what an apple tree looks like because it's got apples on it. You know what an orange tree looks like because it's got oranges on it. Different kinds of fruit trees can be quickly identified by examining their fruit. A variety that produces delicious fruit never produces an inedible kind. And a tree producing an inedible kind can't produce what is good. If you've ever grown up in an area that produces wild fruits and things like that on their trees, you know that you're not supposed to eat certain things. I grew up in Missouri and you'd come across a crabapple tree. If you'd eat a crabapple, you would have a very, very crampy stomach for about the next 6 hours after that. So the trees having an inedible fruit are chopped down and thrown onto the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced. Now, before we all get discouraged and think, man, I'm getting thrown on the fire. I have seen some fruit in my life that is inedible. Nobody would want that fruit. It's terrible. I'm getting thrown under the fire. I'm getting chopped down. God's going to chop me down before I leave here. I'm not even going to make it to the luau. I'm getting chopped down and thrown under the fire. Remember, if you want a different fruit in your life, then plant a different seed. In other words, you and I have the ability. They say the best time to plant a tree is 50 years ago. The second best time is today. If you didn't do it before, well, then do it now. If you're not seeing good fruit in your life, then start planting new seed to get new results. If I'm serious about knowing and changing the real me, then I have to admit that, number two, I don't have the willpower to just magically change my character. I don't have the willpower to just magically change my character. Here's a truth to write down. I can't will myself into being thin, wealthy, or better looking. If I can't will myself into being thin, wealthy, or better looking, willpower definitely won't make me righteous. Listen, we've always been a people who have mistakenly believed that we're capable of doing anything we put our minds to. Past generations have taught that and believed it and said it. And despite all the evidence to the contrary, we keep telling our kids that, sweetie, you can do anything you put your mind to. There was no way I was ever going to be an NBA player. Even if I wished for it, hoped for it, willed it in my life, there are certain things that are beyond my ability physically to do. You can't do anything you put your mind to, or else we would do anything we put our mind to. Right? Wouldn't you will yourself into having a brand new car paid off? I love Mercedes G-Wagons. Those are the real boxy ones. They start at about $110,000. Woo! I lay in bed and will that into my driveway every night. But there's still a 2004 Tundra with a bad suspension and 225,000 miles sitting there when I get up in the morning. You and I, no matter how much evidence is shown to the contrary, keep believing that we can will ourselves into being the better version of ourselves, the thinner version of ourselves, the healthier version of ourselves. Willpower is incapable of doing that. And here's how I know that. If the Apostle Paul is incapable, who is the greatest missionary and pastor to ever walk the planet, other than Jesus himself, Paul had a greater impact on the kingdom of God than any other individual. And if he can't will himself into righteousness, I know that you and I don't stand a chance. Listen to what it says, and this is a little longer than I normally read, but it's so good. Romans 7, 15 through 25. Listen, I can't explain my actions. Here's why. I'm not able to do the things I want, and at the same time, I do the things I despise. If I'm doing the things I've already decided not to do, I'm agreeing with the law regarding what is good. He was basically saying I'm incapable of keeping the righteous law. But now I'm no longer the one acting. I've lost control. Sin has taken up residence in me and is wreaking havoc. I know that in me, that is, in my fallen nature, there is nothing good. He's saying, in my flesh, in my ability to will myself to be better, I can't do it. I can will myself to do something good, but that doesn't help me carry it out. I can determine that I'm going to do good, but I don't do it. Instead, I end up living out the evil that I decided not to do. If I ended up doing the exact thing I pledged not to do, I'm no longer doing it because sin has taken up residence in me. Is Paul confusing you yet? Here's an important principle I've discovered. Regardless of my desire to do the right thing, it's clear that evil is never far away. For deep down, I am in happy agreement with God's law. My spirit wants to do it, but the rest of me does not concur. I want to do it in my spirit, but my flesh voted and said no. I see a very different principle at work in my bodily members, and it is at war with my mind. In other words, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do the right thing. Unfortunately, nothing in me is cooperating with that. I've become a prisoner in this war to rule the rule of sin in my body. I'm absolutely miserable. Is there anyone who can free me from this body where sin and death reign so supremely? I'm thankful to God for the freedom that comes through our Lord Jesus, the anointed one. So on the one hand, I devotedly serve God's law with my mind, but on the other hand, with my flesh, I serve the principle of sin. Wow. Paul just goes, listen, as your pastor, I'm telling you, as the missionary who planted the church, I'm telling you, I want to do the right thing, but my body is at war with me no matter how badly in my spirit, in my mind, in my soul. I've determined to be righteous. Everything within me is fighting me, and I'm a prisoner in that war. I hate it so bad that I set out to do the right thing with my mind, and my body won't cooperate with me. That is the problem with you and I trying to will ourselves into being better people. But he ends and he says this. He says, I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ, though. He says, listen, I'll never be able to be righteous on my own, but with Jesus. There was no group of people, no nucleus of people that followed Jesus more intimately, more constantly and consistently and more closely than his own disciples. And in Matthew 26, 40 through 41, we see that Jesus had pulled aside Peter and James and John, his sort of inner circle, and he took them off to pray with him as he's hours away from the cross, and he is praying to the extent that he's literally sweating blood, the Bible says. That's the intensity of Jesus' prayer. He asks these guys to come and pray with him, and Jesus kind of goes off by himself, and he comes back to find them all sawing logs, blowing Z's, right? Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, and he says, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray, then you won't fall into sin when you are tempted. You're leaning on the strength of your flesh. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. No matter how much you close your eyes and wish and want and will it, your character won't improve. And then finally is this, if I'm serious about knowing and changing the real me, then I have to admit that, and this is what solves the problem we just talked about, the only way to be right all the time is to do right all the time. And again, separate yourself from this, be right in a political argument, be right in a spousal argument, be right in an argument with your kids or your parents, be right in an argument with your professor. It's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about morally, in your character, with integrity, with honesty, with humility, with sacrifice, with all of the things that you are created to be standing right before God. To be righteous, not pious, not arrogant, righteous, in right standing with God. The only way to be right all the time is to do right all the time. Write this down. Practice won't make something perfect, but it will make it permanent. We've all heard the saying, practice makes perfect. It actually goes back to a proverb from the mid-1500s. And it's no more true today than it was 500 years ago. Because if it's a truth we have to recognize, it's no matter how much we've practiced as a people in any particular thing, no one has been perfected. No one is perfect. Even the best at sports, even the best basketball players, the best golfers, the best baseball players, none of them have perfected the sport. And they practice far more than you and I. Smartest people, the most diligent people, the most practiced people still haven't been perfected, and yet somehow we still believe that practice makes perfect. But we do know this to be true. If whoever is coming up can come up. If we know this to be true, it's that when you do something over and over and over and over again, it becomes a habit in your life. Nearly impossible to not continue to repeat a behavior that you have purposely, knowingly, intentionally introduced to your life with consistency and regularity. I know people that get up and run every single morning before the sun rises. I know people that do particular things for their health, emotionally, spiritually, maritally, and they've made it a habit in their life, and they can't imagine their life without doing that. I mean, it could be something as simple as what you eat in the morning. You just have your routine over and over and over again. Most of us have those kind of routines and just getting ready. We shower and brush our teeth and shave and eat breakfast all in a particular order. That's why sometimes when we go on vacation, we kind of freak out a little bit because we can't do all those things in the same way. We've become accustomed to all of those things. So listen to the scary part of that. If you continue to do things that don't make you stand right before God, that don't put you in the posture of right character, of the right mind, of the right words, of the right actions, and you continue to do those things, those sinful God-distancing behaviors become permanent in your life. But here's the great news is you can introduce behaviors into your life, acting in a particular way, and then reacting over and over. React, react, react. Do that thing again and again and again until those become the habits of your life when someone's watching and when no one's watching. When there's a cell phone recording or not recording, that your character comes through and you go, that's exactly the person I want to be. I don't want to grab people by the helmet or by the life vest and try and take them into the water with me. I don't want to lose my balance and go into a perilous and dangerous situation and just reach out and try and take people with me. Spiritually, emotionally, maritally, financially. I don't want to be that person. So I want circumstances to bring out the best in me. God's word literally exists to give us the manual in which we can begin to train ourselves in righteousness. Do you know the Bible actually says those words, to train ourselves in righteousness? Listen, all scripture is God-breathed. I did this out of the Amplified version in your notes, and I love this version. It says, all scripture is God-breathed, which means given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and I love this, restoration of obedience. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. Restoration of obedience, for training in righteousness, and here's how that's defined, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. I think that's worth printing out, highlighting, hanging it on your mirror so that you can see that. For training in righteousness, which means learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably and with personal integrity and moral courage. You see, you and I are not inclined to be good. Not acting right. We're not inclined to do that on our own. Our flesh will always fight that. When you go on this spiritual journey to act right and react right, act right and react right, act right and react right, your flesh will fight you because it's uncomfortable for your flesh to give up power and control. You will go to war with yourself. But it doesn't mean that we can't exercise our way into spiritual health and strength and discipline. Somebody asked me at one of our events how I had lost the weight I had lost. And I said, you know, it's at the beginning, it's a little difficult because you're used to eating as much and whatever you want. But then I said, by the time I was coming off of that discipline, off of that program, I really didn't want to quit it at all because it was so easy. It had become so normal for me. It was so routine. I didn't have to think about it. It was a habit in my life. But if I continued in that particular discipline, I'd be 62 pounds at this point. So I needed to stop that at some point. I'd achieved the health that I meant to achieve. Listen, if we can do it with our diet and with our physical health, we can certainly do it. Add those disciplines to our life. Add those actions to our life and those reactions in our life to be able to produce the kind of results that we want. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. This is Paul again writing to a young pastor named Timothy who he was mentoring. And he said this, don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths and legends. In another translation, it says, things pretending to be spiritual. Because that's sometimes how we measure spiritual health, is things that just pretend to be spiritual but aren't really spiritual. And it says this, spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important and is a tonic for all that you do it. In other words, it brings health to everything in your life, not just physically. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in life, but in the next life too. Listen, the kind of things we do with our kids, we get them into sports and we make sure they're at this and we involve them in that. And there's nothing inherently wrong with those things. It's that sometimes those things become disproportionate to the investment we make in their spiritual life. And you and I do the same exact things as adults. We think that the more we work, the more money we produce, the more we invest in these kind of things, we'll be healthy. And then somehow later on in our retirement years, we can clean up our spiritual lives. It will be nearly impossible. If you've spent all of these years investing in bad behaviors and bad actions in your character, it's going to be very, very difficult to plant new fruit there because your body will resist that. Your flesh will fight you all the way. Now is the time to change your priorities. Now is the time to fight for the more righteous you, because believe this or not, you were created for righteousness. You were created for godliness, which is godlikeness. You were created in his image to live like him and with him. You are not meant to live in your flesh. You're not meant to live in sin. You're not meant to be controlled by the desires of your flesh. That is contrary to the way God created us, but we have become so well practiced in sin, it feels foreign to us to act in righteousness. And God wants you to live a righteous life, right acting, right thinking, right speaking. And you can do it. I promise you can. God gave us a manual in which we can practice. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I want you to have a moment to respond to him. To respond to the truth of his word. To respond to the opportunity to plant new seed today. And if that's you and you just say, listen, I don't know what kind of tree I am. I'd like to believe I'm a tree that produces good, edible, sweet fruit. But I have to be honest, I don't know that I am, because there are moments in which other fruit in me is revealed and exposed, and it's concerning to me. And I want to plant good seed and produce good fruit all the time, privately, publicly, when people are watching and even when people aren't. I want to be who he created me to be. I want to live in righteousness, think in righteousness, act in righteousness. I'm going to tell you, you can do it. Not because you will it to be so, but because you've got a God who created you for something better, who created you for a destiny and a purpose that's based in your ability, your God-entwined ability to live God-like. To live in a character that reflects him, looks like him, thinks like him, talks like him. And if that's you, you say, I want to plant those seeds and I want to see that fruit in my life. I'm not going to will it to be so, but I'm going to begin to act in a way, to begin to do the things that produce that in my life. I've got God's word. I'm going to invest in it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to begin to live out my life in a way that shows God I'm serious about living right, acting right, reacting right. And that's you. Would you slip your hand up and say, yeah, that's me this morning. Wow. Thank you, God, for all of this, for all of this moment. For so many of us being serious about digging up the weeds in our life, uprooting the trees that aren't producing what they're supposed to be producing in our life, and reflecting in a way that reveals to us we've got growth, we've got change, we've got things that need to happen. And today we begin to plant new seed. And in these weeks to come, God, as we really learn the seeds you want planted in our life, we begin to see the results. We thank you for it. We receive it. We give you praise for it now as if it's already begun to happen in our lives, because that's your goodwill and purpose for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.